The following is a special presentation of Louisiana Public Square in partnership with Red River Radio.
This program is part of American Graduate. Let's make it happen. A public media initiative made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support for this program is provided by the men and women of the Louisiana Forestry Association. Through sustainable forestry, LFA members promote the health and productivity of Louisiana's forests for generations to come. And the Foundation for Excellence in Louisiana Public Broadcasting.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of Louisiana Public Square. I'm Beth Courtney, President of Louisiana Public Broadcasting. We're pleased to be coming to you from the University Center Theater on the beautiful campus of LSU Shreveport. Our topic for tonight is an issue that touches all corners of our state, Louisiana's dropout problem. It's also a national problem. Every year, more than 1.3 million students drop out of high school in this country. We're proud to be a part of the American Graduate Let's Make It Happen initiative. It helps make discussions like tonight's possible. And Shauna Sanford, news anchor for LPB, will be our moderator for this evening.
Thank you so much, Beth. Well, everyone, Louisiana's high school dropout rate is alarming, and tonight we'll explore both the problems and the solutions. Assisting us in getting questions from our audience members answered on this important topic is Kermit Poling. He's the general manager of Red River Radio, our partner for tonight's program. Kermit?
Thank you, Shauna. Thank you, Beth. And I'd like to, on behalf of Red River Radio and LSU Shreveport, welcome LPB and our audience tonight for what I'm sure is going to be a fascinating discussion.
Thank you, Kermit. We are definitely looking forward to it. A recently released report by the Public Affairs Research Council says that Louisiana's high school dropout rate is one of the worst in the nation. In Caddo Parish, where we're broadcasting from tonight, nearly half of all students enrolled will not graduate. Students who drop out from schools are more at risk of unemployment, government assistance, and incarceration.
Well, the problem is statewide. So, why do so many Louisiana youth give up on their education, and are there any signs of improvement? Let's take a look at some of the leading causes of Louisiana's dropout dilemma and what's being done to help get our youth back on track.
Damon Trimmel Doty was already 2 years behind when he started high school.
I was one of the kids that stayed in trouble. I was one of the kids that fought, and I basically didn't care about school.
Tanisha Wright had her own problems.
Well, I was pregnant when I first ended my freshman year, and no, I did not think I was going to make it.
Kimberly Perez lost her grandmother.
I decided that nobody could tell me what to do or how to do things, and that came along with referrals, detention. I got in trouble all the time. I smarted off. I didn't let teachers say nothing to me. I didn't care at that point.
But each of these young people got help and did not become part of Louisiana's dropout dilemma. A new report by Louisiana's Public Affairs Research Council, also known as PAR, says state efforts to combat the dropout problem are moving in a positive direction, while the national trend is either stagnant or declining. The latest numbers for the 2010-2011 school year show 70.9% of Louisiana's high school students are earning a diploma within 4 years, while 14.6% of teens drop out during the same 4-year span. For Louisiana's class of 28, the most recent year for which we have national numbers, the cohort, or 4-year graduation rate, was 63.5%. The national average was about 75%, with only Nevada and the District of Columbia having lower rates than Louisiana. Scott Hughes, executive director of the Alliance for Education in Northwest Louisiana, takes issue with the process currently being used to measure high school dropouts. He says it ignores the biggest part of the problem.
In Louisiana, with our 8th grade high stakes test, we lose more kids between 8th and 9th grade than we do between any other grade in the process. And so if we don't start counting the graduation rate till 9th grade, we're missing the largest gap where kids don't make it between 8th and 9th grade.
The state does have a snapshot of when and where students are dropping out during each school year.
We discovered that we have about a 50% graduation rate in this community, 8th grade to 12th grade.
Louisiana's legislature has set a goal of improving the high school graduation rate to 80% for the class of 2014. State and local education officials are using a multifaceted approach to try and get there.
I want to drop out of school to find a job so, you know, I could probably find somewhere else to stay because me and my mom was like going through problems last year.
I was like always in a lot of trouble. I was constantly wrote up.
These students from Ruston High admit they had been on paths to becoming dropouts. Since the highest percentage of Louisiana's dropouts give up in their freshman year, schools are countering with ninth grade academies. Freshman English teacher Laura Hammonds says it's working well at Ruston High.
But really their four core teachers become like a sounding board for them. It's somebody that they feel very close to. And they can come to myself or go to their math teacher or their biology teacher or their world geography teacher. So they feel a connection with four adults that before I don't think we really had.
Kathy Latendry, a Ruston High administrator, says one way to measure the effectiveness of the freshman academy is attendance.
Last year when we did all the data, our kids missed half as many days as they had missed in eighth grade. When we looked at our ninth graders. So when you can cut their absentee rate down and they're in school, they can learn. When you're not in school, learning's not going to take place.
That brings up another dropout prevention tactic, truancy enforcement. Truancy officers like Anthony Smith patrol the streets each school day and also deliver notices to parents and guardians when a school says a student has been absent without an excuse for 5 days or more.
It tells you the guidelines of what the state require the parent to do as far as their kid attending school. It also entails what will happen if you do not adhere to what these guidelines are.
Louisiana law says the parents of truants can be fined up to $250 and or sentenced to up to 30 days in jail. The state also recognizes that not every student is cut out for college, so it is offering more career instruction. Some of that training is done through career academies within high schools, each geared to a particular theme, like what's offered at Fair Park High in Shreveport, medicine.
There's always going to be a job somewhere in the medical field. There's always going to be people sick and need attention to their body, so I think that I'll be pretty good at that since I'm a sports guy.
The state is also targeting at-risk students with a national program called JAG, Jobs for America's Graduates. Louisiana Department of Education, College and Career Readiness Director Debbie Shum.
There is the extracurricular part, which talks about students getting job experiences, actually doing job shadowing, going out and working in businesses and getting a chance to see what is out there and the skills that they need. The second part is that they have a classroom experience where they learn job competencies.
A project-based learning program called New Tech is also showing promise for keeping students in school. In New Tech, students use laptops rather than textbooks. Louisiana currently has 8 New Tech campuses, including the one at Ruston High. Sophomore Adam Rangas likes it a lot.
Like, it's hands-on. That's the way I'm more comfortable with learning. It's really hands-on. I'm really getting involved with the work that I am doing, and it's teaching me for the real world.
Not all the programs battling Louisiana's dropout problem are governmental. A number of nonprofits are also addressing the issue, including Volunteers of America's Lighthouse Project in Shreveport. They offer after-school homework help and mentoring to 600 children and have nearly a 100% success rate keeping kids in school. Damon Doty credits Lighthouse with keeping him on track to get his high school diploma at the age of 20.
I like the atmosphere of being around a group of people that don't know much about you, but seeing that you're trying to do something in your life, they try to help you as much as they can.
Studies show that long-term, the best dropout preventive is early childhood education. And while Louisiana has pre-K programs in place, serving about a third of the state's four-year-olds, state officials have decided not to apply for the $500 million federal Race to the Top Early Learning Challenge grants. According to the National Center for Educational Statistics, a division of the Federal Department of Education, dropouts earn, on average, $19,000 less per year than high school graduates, and cost the economy approximately $240,000 more, with higher reliance on Medicaid, Medicare, welfare, and the criminal justice system. So, is Louisiana doing all it can to help keep youth in school? Hughes says dropouts impact everyone.
Long term, the community can't survive if less than half our kids are graduating.
Joining me to explore the state's dropout dilemma is our panel of experts. State Representative Hollis Downs of Ruston currently serves on the House Education, Retirement, and Transportation Committees. Debbie Shum is the Deputy Superintendent of College and Career Readiness at the State Department of Education. She's one of the primary leaders in the state's plan to reach an 80% graduation rate by 2014. Scott Hughes is the executive director of the Alliance for Education, a nonprofit organization located right here in Shreveport. It focuses on improving the public education system in the seven parishes of Northwest Louisiana. Laura Hammonds has been a teacher for 25 years. She sees this problem from the front lines every single day, and currently she teaches English at Ruston High School in its Freshman Academy. And by the way, she was Teacher of the Year in 2007. And John Warner Smith is the founding CEO of Education's Next Horizon. It's a statewide, not-for-profit organization dedicated to supporting reforms in the public education system. He previously served as Secretary of Labor for Governor Kathleen Blanco. It is a pleasure to have you all here tonight. I know we're going to be in for a very lively and insightful discussion. And so with that, I'd like to start out with the very first question. Give us an example, or give us some idea, rather, of what sort of students we're talking about, just in general, when we're talking about students who drop out. Are these students who are incapable? Are these students who have a lot of personal issues that just forces them to not be able to return? And I'd like for all of you to take a stab at that one, and we'll start with you.
In Louisiana, many of our dropouts are kids who are overage when they get to ninth grade, and they're overage because they've been retained once or twice somewhere in the elementary or middle years. So I think while that's not a typical dropout, it certainly is part of the problem.
Laura, what are you seeing?
They come with baggage. You know, they come with a home life maybe that doesn't put a value on education. Like you said, they come 2 or 3 years behind. When you start high school, instead of being 15 years old, they're starting high school when they're 17, 18 years old. Mm-hmm. So, you know, then it's hard for them. They see their friends who are the same age then leaving,
right,
and they're only a sophomore.
Right.
And, you know, so the maturity level kicks in. Theirs kicks in, and there's with people who then are 15 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, for some of them, it's a pure situation of they have to go to work. You know, there's people at home that are depending on them.
So they have to support themselves.
They
have to support their families.
Exactly.
Younger siblings, that sort of thing.
Exactly. You know, and sometimes it's a case of they have to be home to babysit a younger sibling.
Right. So, it's a tough situation, Scott.
I would agree. I think the problem with dropouts, statistically, you can look at the data, and certainly there are dropouts that fall in certain categories. If a child is 2 or more years behind, that child is almost condemned to fail, statistically. But as our teacher was telling us, every dropout's a unique story. Mm-hmm. And I think at the end of the day, there is no end-all solution that says this is going to stop people from dropping out. No kid wakes up at 14 and says, I want to drop out next year. Something happens that when they hit 15 or the tragedy in their life happens, a lot of kids get bored with the curriculum. The mm-hmm. curriculum's not meeting their needs. And so we're not just losing kids because they're having social problems. We're losing kids because in many ways we're not meeting their academic needs. Some of those kids drop out as well.
Yeah. And Debbie, we were talking about this earlier. You said you might be surprised.
Exactly. We have about 52 high schools in Louisiana who have a large population of students who do not graduate in 4 years, but when they entered high school in the ninth grade, they were at the basic or above level on the LEAP test. So they had a better than average
academic background. So I think there's a misconception that people think that the students that drop out are the students that are not academically capable. Mm-hmm. And it's not the fact that they're not academically capable. There are many issues, the overage, the parent issues, the parenting issues that they may have to deal with, the fact that some of them need jobs, that some of them do not have a single adult who can help them focus on the fact that education is the most important thing that they need to get.
Representative Downs.
And I think with obviously exceptions, if you want to look at the single largest category, just go back and look and see which kids were behind all the rest of them when they got to kindergarten in the first place. They started behind, and they never caught up. Mm-hmm. And so later on, you're going to talk about some things. If we want to talk about probably the nearest thing to a silver bullet, it'll be what we can do about early childhood education, particularly even with added emphasis from a prenatal through 3 and 4 years of age. Great opportunities there. There are other issues, but if you track it through, you'll find most of these, regardless of what seems to be the ultimate outcome, a huge amount of it was already there. Mm-hmm. When they came in to kindergarten programs, 40 to 50% behind a lot of the peer groups in there. Well, and of course, you cannot overlook the fact of the huge impact that teenage pregnancy has on it. Right. in that circumstance.
Right. Well, you mentioned that silver bullet, and we certainly want to get to that just a little bit later on. But let's go to Kermit. Our audience, I know, is anxiously awaiting to get in on this discussion. Kermit?
Yes, indeed. And first up, we have Jackie Lansdale, who is the president of the Caddo Federation of Teachers and Support Personnel. So welcome this evening.
Thank you so much. The question I would have is centered around many of the things that you've already brought up, and it's about prevention. I would like to know what programs are out there, that there are rubrics or something along that line that would allow the public educator to be able to identify those potential dropouts, because as you said, they're not unique in any aspect. They run a variety of the spectrum. You know, what do you see the community doing in an effort to help the public educator in making sure those students stay in the schoolhouse?
Wow, those are some really good questions, and I don't want you to go anywhere because we want to make sure that we get all of those questions in. Who wants to take the first one, identifiers? Scott or Debbie?
I'll jump right in on that. one of the things that we've done is we've created what we call a graduation support profile. It's brand new, but it's available to all high schools, that comes with a file that identifies the characteristics in eighth grade. And it's, did the student miss 20 or more days of school while they were in eighth grade? Did they fail their English or math class? Or did they have disciplinary issues? And another one is transients. Did they move from one school to another school? So we have identified a set of about 4 characteristics that gives a profile, a student profile, to the high school principals and their leadership team that says, here is the group of students who, if somebody doesn't pay attention to them right now, we're going to lose them before they get to your door. The second thing that we're working on is a sixth grade profile, so that it would look at the same characteristics from when the student was in fifth grade. There would be a little bit of variance, but that way we can start at an earlier age. But one of the things we can't forget is that right now in Louisiana, out of entering freshmen, out of a class of 47,000 first-time freshmen, 17,000 of those students are over age. Mm-hmm. So we've got to address, I'll say, the issue on both ends.
Yeah, John, we'll let John. Yes.
Debbie's absolutely right. You've got to work both ends. And, you know, research findings show that if a child is not reading on grade level, on time, has entered fourth grade on time, chances are that child is going to be struggling for the rest of his or her life, really, let alone graduate from high school. So we've got to start early. We've got to start really at birth. And we've got strong pre-K programs in Louisiana, but we can do better. We can invest, I think, more efficiently and invest more in early childhood education.
But I guess the question is that happening, Representative Downs?
Yeah, and let me pick up. I do want to make it abundantly clear. I suggested that in fact, you start in a hole back at the kindergarten. Having said that, and the fact that you've got now 13 years worth of those people working constantly through the system. I'm not suggesting you abandon them and only look at the other. I'm saying if you want to solve it permanently, you got to go back there. But in the meantime, you got to keep working on the rest of these pieces along the line. I did want to pick up on something that Scott said, and he's exactly right. And we've known for some time that the single largest year for dropout is in the eighth grade. And so we have our head in the sand if we don't pay attention to that number. Actually, I think we probably use the measuring system we use right now, probably because that's the national standard that we work from in that area. We're not oblivious to that eighth grade problem, and we are trying to address some of those things as well.
As a classroom teacher, I know that when our students come in and they have been targeted using this data, then as a classroom teacher, I know which students to look for. We know which programs to put them in at our school. Instead of, you know, them maybe taking home ec as their elective, well, they may take an elective to meet their specific needs, whether it's to get their reading level up or to get their math level up. So we target those kids immediately using those same exact scores and data to help us decide where to place our students.
But talk a little bit more about the Freshman Academy and what you all have going on at Ruston High School.
The Freshman Academy at Ruston High School is unbelievable. I've been in it since its inception. We take these children in. One of the mottos is failure is not an option for my freshmen. We have a mentoring program where every freshman at Ruston High School is given a mentor. They meet with them weekly. The mentors have to make so many contacts with them, so they have students that are there to help them. As far as classes are concerned, all of the teachers that are in the Freshman Academy, we have a common planning period. So we can meet in content groups, we can meet in team groups. So if we notice an issue where, you know, somebody's not having a good day today, well, no, they weren't having a good day in my class either.
Right.
Well, then we call home.
So if I'm entering Ruston High School as a freshman, I would automatically go into the Freshman Academy.
Yes.
If they notice that perhaps I have some issues and that I might need a little more attention, or perhaps they're fearing that I might drop out, there's the New Tech program.
Exactly.
That correct?
Yes. We have a New Tech High School Insider. It's kind of a school within a school at Ruston High School. I do not teach in it, but it does wonders for the students that are in there. It gives them just a totally different way to learn. Each one is given an Apple computer. It's all project-based learning, very much team-oriented. And it's for that student who maybe doesn't, you know, books, reading, writing down, you know, 20 math problems tonight, but they get much more out of it by projects. For instance, we have a bonfire every year, you know, for our school rival. Well, the geometry class came up with a way to build the bonfire this year.
Mm-hmm.
So they're learning math, but it's very much hands-on.
Yes. And Representative Downs wants to get into
that. Yeah, just to add to that, the New Tech option recognizes that there are people who are just simply much more stimulated by that type of a teamwork. Right. And by the way, it's built on the model of how most all of them are going to go to work when they leave there and go out. And so, I mean, it's very apropos to the type of careers and things they'd be pursuing. But it has a great aspect. One story that came out of New Tech last year of a child who came and said to want to be all that, you know, I just want to let you know, I mean, I've had enough, I'm dropping out, if you will. And so, understood, weren't shocked by that in some sense, but said, before you do, let me introduce you to a new concept and see if you think you'd be interested in it. That child came into the New Tech program and went from a dropout to an honor student because wasn't anywhere near illiterate, was bored stiff and or hated it and wouldn't apply themselves, and so it worked really, really well.
One thing we've looked at the Alliance for Education very closely, which is quite frankly out of the realm of teacher control, is the child's attendance record in that first month of school. There's been work done by Bob Balfance, Johns Hopkins University, that will pretty much show a kid that misses 5 days that first month is almost a 75% chance to drop out.
Wow.
If you're looking for a pure metric in that first month, it's attendance. Yeah. That is the warning
attendance.
Signal.
Attendance, that is the biggest. Okay, yeah. Wonderful. Thank you all for that, and thank you for the questions. And let's go to Beth.
Well, Shauna, we've been talking about students, and we have some students with us, and we want to get their opinions. Clarissa Thomas, and you're at what school?
Airline.
And what's your question?
What can you do to encourage kids to stay more in school? Like, for instance, kids are dropping out for, like, personal problems,
mm-hmm.
and what can you do to help them?
Mm-hmm. Great question. Who wants to take that one? Yes.
I'm always taking the first.
That's okay.
A number of things. One that really works is a caring adult, mentorship, internships, some adult who really is there with that student, helping that student to, first of all, listening, and helping that student to just work through the concerns and all the issues going on in his or her life.
I want to point out that all of the students that you saw in our piece who were interviewed by our reporter there, Sue Lincoln, they did not drop out because somebody stepped in. Somebody showed interest, concern for those students, and they were able to stay in. Debbie?
And I just want to share that's one of the pieces that we found in our research, that it is the caring adult, and it does not have to just be somebody either at the school site or at home or in the business community. It doesn't matter what site they come from. Somebody who will stand up for that student, let them know that there's a reason for them to be in school. And I want to share, there's another program that we have that is statewide. It's not in every district, but it's called Jobs for America's Graduates. And one of the key components of that is somebody called a job specialist who works with students to make sure that they know what skills they need to be able to succeed in school and succeed on the job. But the other key thing that it does is it involves the student in activities. Every year they have a career leadership conference where students are able to attend, and students who are what I'll say is the group of students that normally do not participate in activities at school, they get involved in these programs. And I think those are some of the things that happen in schools that can help students who sort of are left in a crowd by themselves get connected to what they want to do with their future.
The old R's in education used to be reading, writing, remit. We've always heard that, arithmetic. The new three R's are rigor, relationship, and relevance. And I think that those of us who work in public education really have to go out of our way to make sure we're putting a lot of effort on rigor. We're real good at rigor in Louisiana. But we're not putting enough effort into that relationship, which is the mentor things we're talking about, mm-hmm. what teachers can do. And we're not putting enough into that relevance. Because at the end of the day, if we have a relevant curriculum, and I think that's something we owe the students, that's why New Tech is trying to do that. Different ways are trying to reach out and find out what ways do the kids want to learn. I mean, we used to have the old typing classes. That's irrelevant. You know, word processing a little better, keyboarding, they understand that. How do you come up with classes? How do you come up with programming? If you go visit with juvenile judges, they'll sit there and tell you that all day long they see kids come in front of their court. At the end of the day, they're condemning them back to the same system that failed the child. And there's not anything new for them to go send the child to. We've got to actually, quite frankly, talk to the students and find out what they're looking for in the school, because it's clearly not what we're giving them.
In our work with school districts and talking to school leaders and principals and teachers, what we find oftentimes is that students really don't take advantage of the support that's available to them. I'm not saying that's your situation, but I would certainly encourage all students to take advantage of whatever support exists, whether it's, you know, mentorships, even after school and tutoring support. That's a real issue. You know, there's probably more tutoring capacity than there are actual, you know, students participating. So find out what the school is offering and really get engaged in it.
Okay.
Yes. I just want to say one more thing, because I actually think if you were to go to someone in your school, mm-hmm. that, and I'm not going to say that it happens in all circumstances, but if you were to go to a teacher that you know or a principal, if you felt comfortable and share with them that you feel that there needs to be something, I'm a firm believer that nobody wants to have a failing school. Everybody wants their kids to get to graduation, but sometimes they need prompting from students mm-hmm. to let them know what needs to happen in their building. So I'd say sharing that information with somebody on your staff would be a key starting point.
Yes, I'm interested. We just, all of the parish school system just got a letter grade, and I've been looking at that really hard. And Zachary got an A, and Central Community School System got a B. And their graduation rates are, Zachary is 92.7%, and Central is 81%. And they are an independent, they are part of East Baton Rouge Parish that got split up, anyway, and they each became an independent school system. So, and I realized that they are much, much smaller than the rest of the other schools, the parish school systems. So I'm thinking that's part of it, that why they are doing so much better. And I would just like your input and what you think of the independent school systems in Lewiston.
Go ahead.
I'll start with it because I was there not for the Zachary system, but for the central system. Those things don't happen without a lot of work and a lot of fights, because they are given up by the systems grudgingly as well. You have to work through a lot of things to get to that point. But I think that they thought, and that the strengths would be, that they regain themselves as a community school where they're responsible in those areas there for paying for them, for leading them, for parental support, to what have you, that they're no longer dependent on a central type system that's a long way away from them. And so they really feel a sense of pride. You find all of a sudden, again, they're willing to even tax themselves for their own systems because it's their system there, if you will. By the way, those are not small high schools, either one of them. I don't know the exact number. It's pretty large high schools, over 1,000. But I think that they would tell you that was the thing. They wanted to be responsible for their own destiny, and they went through the tough decisions through the voters and otherwise, and moved to that type of a system. It's legal within our system. It could be done here and in other areas if people in a given community within there in that school decided that was the route they wanted to go.
My name is Anna Walton. My question is, since 55% of the dropouts in Louisiana happen between 8th and 9th grade, what are your thoughts on increasing funding to include 9th through 12th grade in trade school programs as an added incentive to make it to high school?
Great question. Yes.
Can I jump on that? Yes. One of the things that we're doing is focusing more on the middle, because you hit it on the head. If we don't do something with those students in middle school, they'll never make it to high school. So one of the programs that we started this year, we used to have something called pre-GED options, where students were actually allowed to go into a program who were over age, but the only exit for those students was either a GED or a skills certificate that really did not lead to what I'll say a lifelong skill to be able to make a good living. So one of the things that changed, and it changed this year, is that in eighth grade, there is a new program called the Connections Process. And it is intended to make sure that students get the job skill, that they get the interventions they need in reading and math, so we can help them get caught up in those particular areas. And they have something connecting them to a job that they want in the future. It's brand new. We don't have a whole lot of data on that yet, but I will tell you we've made observations across the state. People are really picking up on that because they recognize that it's at the middle school level that we've got to start making a difference.
And so are schools, are they mandated? Do they have,
yes,
to, they have to participate
Pre-GED
in this?
Options is no longer in place because the actual exit rate of pre-GED was that about 7% of the students that enrolled in that were the ones that got GEDs, and everybody else just sort of faded away.
Okay.
So this is a new program. It is mandated, and this is the first year of implementation.
Okay. And so does this put students on the track for the career diploma?
That is an option, but it is not the only option.
It's not the only option. There's a lot of controversy over that. Some people, you know, wonder if this is really going to help with the dropout rate. Some people wonder if this is about lowering standards.
In many cases, the students in this program, what changed is that when we had pre-GED options, the only exit for them was a GED. With this program, the exit can be to any diploma pathway. It can be to a career diploma, it can be to a core four diploma, or to a regular core diploma, a basic core. The career diploma is really not intended to be less rigorous. It's intended to provide a student who is skilled in a particular area an avenue, and it is not intended for them not to attend post-secondary education.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a variety. I think in Louisiana, we kind of have a misconception that when we say we want them to go to college, that we mean a four-year university. The new message has to be that we want them to attend post-secondary education, which can be exactly what you talked about, career and technical, and it should start at an earlier age so that students start to experience the skills that they will need to get the jobs that they want.
She mentioned incentive. Some of this answer, when you look at K-12, The big reward is TOPS. You know, if you fill all the boxes in, we'll send you to school. Well, there's also TOPS Tech. Mm-hmm. And as we look at this, we may need help from the higher ed community to say, what's wrong if a child chooses to go to a two-year university? Right now, that's the only option. But if we incentivize the child to maybe go try a two-year university or community college and then let them promote up to a four-year, we've got to build a way in there that we're building the incentive for the child to find the right track where they succeed. And if they keep succeeding, maybe we keep rewarding that. It's still cheaper to the state in the long run than throwing TOPS money at everybody.
In fact, we're not discouraging that. In fact, that is the movement. We intend to change the way in Louisiana that students enter college and universities, with the primary pathway going forward through the community college system, then leading on to the university system afterwards. Since you specifically ask about the money, I do want to comment and tell you, you're aware that Louisiana, like the rest of the nation, has had budget issues. We specifically have protected and guarded against that for the technical schools and the community college system because of exactly what you're talking about, and I realize that our need to really grow in that area. So those cuts have fallen disproportionately on the four-year universities for the very reason that you mentioned.
Thank you so much. Yes.
Clarify one item. Journey to Careers is offered actually at the middle school level. Starting this year, it's the whole process of trying to pull students at the middle school level into an arena where they know what skills they will need if they want a particular job or lifestyle. So Journey to Careers is now offered at the middle school level for Carnegie Unit credit that they can bring to a high school campus.
Okay, great. So let's go to Kermit, who has another question from our audience.
Our questioner is Brian Salvatore, who I might also add is a member of the faculty here at LSUS. Brian.
Thank you, Kermit. Yes, I'm a chemistry professor here at LSUS, and one of the things I'm doing in addition to my regular duties as a professor is I've started an after-school program for innovation in some of the most at-risk schools here, and LSUS students are serving as mentors to a lot of students, but I have a concern and a question. Something that would make our job easier is if we had more examples of companies here that were innovative. We do not have enough companies that are holding intellectual property that are based here in Northwest Louisiana. And my question is, how can we proceed to try to encourage us to try to build more of a knowledge-based economy?
I will tell you, specifically, just 60 miles away, there's a huge undertaking at Louisiana Tech University in research and with the development of its research park and tenant facilities, the development of patents and things of that nature, designed to be an incubator for the entire I-20 area for the very thing that you're talking about in developing that area. In fact, they have a campus, as you know, in West Shreveport as well, where a lot of that technology is delivered, and the close working partnerships there with the LSU Health Sciences as well as LSU Shreveport and partnering on some of those areas. So it's very much recognized and is part of a state focus to move in the very direction that you're talking about. Long way to go, as it is with a lot of these things, but we are focused and moving in that direction.
And this issue, really an economic development issue, mm-hmm. you know, more, it's almost a chicken and egg situation. You need the new companies to help you educate, but you need the K-12 education system to attract the new companies. And so
right.
finding that balance is very, very
right.
important.
Right.
And I think the local communities have tried to balance that. You look across the river here in Northwest Louisiana, in Bossier with the Cyber Command, you see a heavy emphasis in film. I think people are trying to make use of the assets that they have. I think the big question is, how do we improve the overall education level of the community to a point where those companies look at us and they find us attractive and they say, I want to locate my company there. When you hit that, like the Triangle in North Carolina, or like Austin, or some of these hot spots, the Birmingham corridor, where they really succeeded, then it just fuels itself. It just takes off and like gangbusters, and you're able to achieve that synergism you're looking for.
I'm curious to know, what are you finding with the kids who you're mentoring?
Well, I find a lot of potential in schools where people around the community may not recognize the potential of those students. And of course, after school, there's a competition for the students' attention. There's football, mm-hmm. there's student government, there's mm-hmm. cheerleading, there's night school. And we have to be as exciting as possible. So all our stuff is project-based, hands-on learning. We're launching rockets right now. We're doing fuel cells next in 2 weeks.
Okay, wonderful.
I love it. I'm having fun.
Great. Well, thank you so much for that question, and let's go to Beth.
Good afternoon. I'm Shirley Roberson. I'm the Director of Multicultural Affairs at the LSU Medical Health Sciences Center here in Shreveport. I have a very successful K through 20 pipeline that put kids into medical school and also into a lot of our allied health professions. The problem that I'm having, and I think it's a problem that is also a concern for you, is the at-risk African-American male. A lot of people, I have not heard anyone address that. The African-American male is more disproportionately targeted, or he is a target for the dropout rate. I'm sure his rate is probably the highest in most schools. But that same group of students is very overly represented in the athletic programs in most schools. What are you doing, or are there programs in place to target that particular population, the African-American male, to retain those students in school?
Okay, great question.
Yes. At my school, if you're an athlete and you are not making your grades, you don't go to football practice. You go to tutoring. And our coaches are very good, all sports, not just football. But our coaches are very committed to the fact that their athletes are students first, and then they are athletes. I guess I'm lucky that I have that, but our coaches in all sports are very committed to that aspect.
And I think that's wonderful that's happening at your school, but that, unfortunately, is not the case.
Right. I think when you look at the data,
for the majority
a couple
of
years ago, we really, working with a principal here in Caddo, looked at the Fair Park High School data, which is right located here in Shreveport. And what we discovered is that a potential graduating class of should have been over 300 kids, there are about 109. And so there were 200 kids that did not walk across the stage. And when you go back, if I remember the numbers correctly, I think about half of that never actually showed up on the campus of Fair Park. Hmm. They were in the attendance zone. They should have gone to the school, but for all the reasons we've talked about, they came into school behind. They ran into discipline problems. They never really got the fundamentals solid enough to get over that eighth grade leap test. They never made it to the high school level. And so the first thing I would look at in this situation is, are the children we're trying to help actually getting to the high school level? I don't think it's fair to say the high schools are maybe the ones where we're losing all these kids. Particularly when you look at African American boys, we may be losing them well before high school. And we may have to back up and figure out, as the representatives talked about, the early childhood education, you know, and particularly in Louisiana, where Louisiana leads the nation in many of the accountability standards, what separates us is that fourth grade and eighth grade leap test, those high stakes tests. And that's where you see kids start to stack up, and that's where we might lose kids, where they get behind. And you're seeing some movement now, people talking about looking maybe all boy, all girls schools, and looking at how can we deal with this particular type of a child to educate them for their needs.
Okay, Debbie, and then Sean.
And I'd just like to add that one of the things the State Department is trying to do, the Department of Education, is make people aware of the gap that exists between different groups, and specifically between ethnic groups, and letting them know that for particular students at particular levels, certain students are performing at level A, and we need to close the gap. So we have 9 goals at the Department of Education. One of them is specifically to close the gap. And on each of the goals, we are now starting, as of this year, to present the data that shows districts, so that a district, as was mentioned, one district's going to do one particular thing that others may not be looking at, is to talk about districts that are closing the gap and share those best practices with other districts so that we can look at it as a whole. But it is a definite indicator for the 9 goals for the department.
Oh, we know where the problems are. You've expressed that very well, where the problems are with the child in the home. I don't see the school systems, though, taking enough responsibility to retain that particular group. You know they're out there, you know who your dropout students are, you know that that has been a problem, and it's a problem that's getting worse. But we cannot keep blaming the student. We as educators and the system, the school system, who is designed to basically educate all children, need to make more effort. One of the young men who was talking earlier, he was talking about how uncomfortable he felt
being that old in a regular school system. Why not target maybe classes just for students at that particular level and let them have most of their classes together with those type of mentors?
So I agree the school systems aren't doing enough to help these kids. And I think we need to find a way to do that. One thing I think that does help, and I want to thank you, 4 or 5 years ago, nobody was talking about dropout. A big part of it is making it part of the conversation. And so while this issue of the graduation rate of black boys, the graduation rate of rural, the graduation rate of whatever, while it may be uncomfortable, I think it's an important conversation to have.
Well, you did mention in particular, and you made a good point of athletics and its impact and importance. I will tell you that this past year, we were finally successful in passing legislation that raised the requirements in order for young athletes, student athletes to stay involved in athletics before. And I want to tell you that legislation was sponsored by Representative Hardy of Lafayette, who is African-American there in Lafayette. And it took us 3 years to get to that point, but we have raised those standards so that you cannot participate in the Louisiana Athletic High School Association sports any longer if your grades are below a C average.
So thank you for your question. Let's go to Carmen, who has another question from our audience.
Yes, and this question, I believe, is intended at least initially for Representative Downs. This is Dottie Bell from the Caddo Parish School Board.
Okay. Good evening. We've talked about a lot of the problems for dropouts. One thing we did not state, and as a question to you, Representative, and whoever else, the fund of school been taken out. There's no fund for children to go to school. The reason I'm saying that, my grandbaby already talking about, "Grand, I must pass the test to go to the next grade." Teachers are under pressure because they need to pass that, make the students pass the test, mm-hmm. regardless of what students in the room. We need to put fun back in the school. All we're talking about is testing, testing, testing.
Okay, and let's give him a chance to answer that question.
Well, you make good points. I'd like to know what you suggest in that area, but I will tell you that some of the things you heard earlier from some of our schools here at Ruston, for an example, along those lines, they've looked for creative ways to engage the students and give them a different type of environment, hug them up, love them, what have you. Now, do they still have to take the test? They still have to take them. Are they doing better with them? They're certainly doing a lot better with them. So innovative programs that reach them and encourage them and help build their confidence level in the first place. So we got to keep working through those things.
Debbie, what about this whole concept of nudge and nurture?
I think that's the key. I think the most important thing for students to know is that there's somebody in that building that cares about them getting to the end. And not just caring about them passing the test, but caring about them having a future that's going to take them where they want to go. So I think Scott mentioned before, it's the relevance and relationships. And many people in many cases need relationships, relationships, relationships. Mm-hmm. Between students and teachers, between students and students, and between administrators and their teaching staff. So I think there's a big push right now. And in the state, we have a long way to go. We saw one of the biggest gains in our graduation rate going from 67.2 to 70.9 this year. Some of the things that we're looking at changing is the middle school model and making sure that when we have programs, it's as the lady mentioned over here, we need to talk about those kids that are over age and give them an opportunity to be able to exit with their peers. So one program that's been started across the state is called the Accelerated Student Achievement Pathway, where a student who is over age in the eighth or ninth grade can actually use online credit recovery, have students take classes in a different manner to show that they're competent in the course and get a chance to graduate with their peers, because that's the biggest incentive that we can offer to a student for them to get across the goal line.
Well, Shauna, I'm here with Kimberly Perez, and Kimberly has experienced a lot of the things you're talking about. So this is one of the students we should ask her opinion.
Yes.
What do you think of the conversation? What has your experience been like?
My experience has been very difficult from the beginning, because a lot of teachers from the beginning, they were like, you got to do what you got to do, and I'm going to do what I got to do. Mm. I want to know how teachers can just give students another chance, not just give up on them right away. My experience, I gave up when a teacher gave up on me, and when my grandma passed away. And I felt like no one was there for me. Not a teacher, not nobody. So I went the wrong way. I got expelled. And like, it was hard for me because nobody was there. I opened up some teachers. They act like they didn't care. Some were like, well, sweetie, that's how life is. And I do understand life is like that. You lose someone, you get hurt, but you should put more, not always nurture them, that is correct, but at least encourage them that things will be okay and not to give up right then, to help them, to encourage them to achieve, to graduate.
Right, right.
That's what I'm
Thank you saying. So much for that. And I think it's interesting that we've heard from students tonight and they've been talking about the relationship that you have mentioned over and over and over again. Students, they're hungry for a relationship, it sounds like, with their teachers, with anyone who'll listen and encourage.
Well, at the core of any education process, education is a one-on-one process. It is a relationship between a student and a teacher. And if you can get that correct, and there's many ways to look at it. We may not have it correct in Louisiana. We might, you know, teachers ask for more discipline in the classroom. We certainly probably need to address that as a state. Students are asking for better relationships from their teachers, and we hear ninth grade academies trying to set up a way where they have that outcome. But you're not going to improve education until you get that relationship correct. And when you get it correct, you know, the student is talking, I think back to my years, I don't think of algebra or history. I think of Miss Cooksey. I think of Miss Cook. I think of the teachers that I had growing up, and that's what education is all about. And how you get that correct, the previous question asked about testing. Testing is not unto itself bad. If we become teachers of the test, teaching to the test, now we're not doing it. If testing becomes an instrument to instruct us what your needs are, how the teacher can help you. We had Jeffrey Canada from Harlan Children's Zone in Shreveport today, and that was one of the things he talked about, that testing is only relevant if the data can be used in real time and can help address us and understand what that child needs. Then the testing becomes relevant. If it's just used for as a penalty weapon, as a way to rate schools, then it's probably not a good tool.
I want to give Laura an opportunity.
Kimberly's one of our success stories. She's one of my students. And she finally, you know, she got back on the right track, and she found those teachers that were there for her. And we rode over together this evening, and, you know, she loves school. She goes, I'm one of those kids that I don't want to go home in the afternoons. And she has turned her life around, and she's got her future planned, and I'm so very proud of her.
Well, she's, and I think that great. She can be a role model and an example to
very
other students
so.
That you can do it. It can be turned around.
Very much so. And like she said, you know, she didn't have a good beginning, but she's going to have an awesome ending, and that's
Wonderful.
What matters.
That's what matters. Okay, my final question, this is sort of going to be a lightning round answer to this question. What works? And where should the money be spent? Representative Downs, let's start with you, very
well,
quickly.
I showed my whole card early, you know, when I talked about early childhood education. I'm really, if I could only do one thing,
then I would
change the early age and have them prepared so that they, that as many as half of our students don't come to the beginning 50% behind all the rest of their peer group when they start with. And we know beyond any shadow of a doubt that we can do that through the right systems, through nurturing. We know about brain development during those early times. We know about toxic environments, these things, and with the resources, we can make a difference there. I'd say one other thing about it is just simply this. We also know that most states across America look at kids who fail in the second grade and use that as a predictor for building new prisons going forward. So it is critically important that you address these issues early in life. I'd invest my money if I only had $1 in early childhood education.
Okay, very quickly, Debbie, what works and where should the money go?
I think one of the key things is the mentoring program that's fostered through the Freshman Academy. I think the ninth grade is critical, and transitioning from eighth grade to ninth grade and getting those students transitioned and having the skills they need to be able to succeed in high school and having somebody they can count on when they walk in the door is the most important.
Scott.
I'd do three things, and Hollis mentioned one. I'd have the state fully fund the LA4 program. It's one of the leading early childhood education programs in the country. The structure's in place. We as a state just need to fund it to get kids to start on time. Once they start on time, if we keep kids on grade level at grade level, I think the kids will be ready to get on through. And then I have to close. Debbie has mentioned it. I serve on the state JAG board. Mm-hmm. And I think JAG is an actual graduation program for kids who might need that relevance at the end of the process. 96% plus graduation rate, I'd invest my money there.
Laura?
I would put mine in freshman academies and the relationships that are built. I can't say enough about it. The relationships that are built with those faculties and those students are unbelievable.
It's paying off. It's paying off. Ways. Sean.
Yes.
Support and intervention at all levels, and especially early childhood education.
All right. Thank you all so very much. Everybody, give yourselves a round of applause. You've just done an amazing job. We appreciate it. We have completely run out of time. I want to thank all of our panelists for their contributions tonight, and the discussion that we've had here has been incredible. Representative Hollis Downs, Debbie Shum, Scott Hughes, Laura Hammonds, and John Warner Smith. When we return, we will have a few closing comments, so be sure to stay right there.
A wonderful conversation, mm-hmm. Shauna and Kermit. I would say to you, though, that this is the first town meeting of many town meetings that will go across this country involving a wonderful project for public broadcasting. And we hope that we can continue this conversation, because that's really sharing what works is so important.
That's right. Important to start the discussion.
Absolutely. And we have the problem. We know that we have the problem, but there are solutions. Mm-hmm. And there are programs out there that are working that need to be duplicated across the state and probably across the nation. It's been great working with Red River Radio.
It's been a pleasure to have you here at LSUS as well.
Thank you, Kermit.
Well, that's all the time we have for this edition of Louisiana Public Square. We encourage you to visit our website at lpb.org/public square and comment on tonight's program.
Remember, you can now also follow Louisiana Public Square on Facebook and Twitter. Join us Thanksgiving week in November as we examine how truly civic-minded and politically active our citizens are on civic engagement in Louisiana. Thank you to our audience here in Shreveport and all of you tonight for watching. Have a good night.
And a special thanks to Kermit Poling and Renee Moran of Red River Radio. Good night, everyone.
Great job, guys.